As was read moments ago, Romans 1, 18 through 32, we're going to be talking this morning about man's without excuse. Because we've got a lot of verses to cover, we'll move rather quickly. Verses 18 through 32, really all the way up through the end of chapter 2, we're looking at man from God's perspective. We're getting to look from heaven how God sees man and what really is happening on this earth. And one thing he's already reminded us of, if you look at verse 16 and 17, this is really the theme of the book of Romans, where he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." The gospel is God's power to save. The gospel reveals God's righteousness. And if anyone needs the righteousness of God, if anyone needs saving, it's man. And that's why he begins this discourse, beginning in verse 18, what the problem of man is. And he's talking about man in general. This is everyone, because if the gospel's for all, there's a reason all need saving. Look at verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. I want you to notice the first thing we see is revealed is present tense. It's not going to be revealed. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And it's revealed against man's ungodliness and unrighteousness. You see, all ungodliness and unrighteousness has one objective. It suppresses truth. The truth about God. The truth about anything, but the truth about God. That's what unrighteousness and ungodliness does. And God looks at man, and he sees man in their ungodliness and in their unrighteousness. They're trying to suppress the truth about God. And God says, "You're not going to do that. My wrath is going to be revealed against everyone who does that. And I'm not going to allow it to happen." Why is God so animate about this? Verse 19. "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." Man knows about God. Man knows God. Can you imagine God's creation, which we are? God created us, what, in His image? You think God created man in His image for man to ignore their Creator? Absolutely not. Even Solomon recognized in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, where he says, "He has made everything in its appropriate time and also has set eternity in the heart of man." God has placed within man, they know God. That's why He created man. Just because man cares to ignore that doesn't change the fact that which is known about God is evident within them because God made it evident to them. Look at chapter 2 real quick. Verse 14, he's comparing the Jew or the Jew and the Gentile and the law of Moses. Look what he says here. 2:14. "For when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves." You know what the Gentiles do? That would be me and you. Man instinctively, did you get that? Some versions may say by nature. You know what God placed within man? There is a nature. And there's a nature that they know about God. You get off to some of these, you've seen some of the National Geographic programs where they go off into these places where, you know, tribes, they don't see different people, they don't see man. But you know what they have? They have laws written for their tribes. And those laws, you don't murder, you don't steal from your fellow mankind. Where did they get that? When they don't know anything about the laws of God, they don't. There is something instinctively put within man. And so here's man. They know there's a God, but they're trying to suppress the true things about God in their ungodliness. And God said, then my wrath's going to be revealed right now upon mankind for that. Come back to chapter 1, look at verse 20. He says, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. I mean, man may choose to ignore and go after unrighteousness and ignore the things of God. You know what? God also, from the very creation, explained, here I am. Look at my works. You might want to ignore God. You might want to say God doesn't exist. You may not want to do anything with God and use ungodliness and in your unrighteousness to suppress my truth. But you can't put my nature out. Because in the creation of this world, my invisible attributes, my eternal power, and my divine nature have been clearly seen. There is a God that rules from heaven, and our nature around us shows there is a God who rules from heaven. In fact, when Paul went to Lystra, and the people were trying to make Paul and Barnabas these two gods of Zeus and those, you know, and they were trying to post them up as that, Paul had to turn around there in Acts 14, and he told them, God has not left Himself without witness. He gives you your rains. He gives you your harvest. Those come from God. The eternal attributes of God, His power and His nature can be seen through what's been created. You can try to suppress the truth about God, but you're not going to stop Him, because my wrath will be against and is against all that ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And so he says at the end of verse 20, what does he say about mankind? So that they are without excuse. Man has no excuse for acting the way they act. There is no excuse from God, because God sees man as guilty. Because God's made it evident within man and to man that they should seek Him. Look at verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. Man knew. Man knows. You know what man chooses? Not to give thanks. Not to give honor. There is a problem with people that wants to give no honor or thanks to their Creator for all that He's done. And see, we hadn't even got to the death of Jesus yet. But you know what He's trying to get them to see? Even though they know, man chooses to not honor or give thanks. Now, what in the world is God going to do with people that don't give honor or thanks? And we have 6 billion souls on this earth, more than that. And guess what? The majority give no honor or thanks. And God says, you're without excuse. You couldn't exist without me. And yet man continues to follow. So what's God going to do? Well, something starts happening the moment you decide, the moment I decide, the moment any person decides not to give God honor or thanks. Something starts happening within your being that God created. Verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Two things start happening. Number one, your thinking starts getting off tune. He says they become darkened or futile in their speculations. The idea of futile is void of results. Oh, you go to your universities, you go to your philosophers, you pick up your Reader's Digest, you pick up your big philosophical people of this earth. You know what? It's void of results if it's done without God. You leave God out of it, you're not getting anywhere. And so what happens is your thinking becomes void of results. And don't you know that we came from amoebas? And don't you know that we came, you know, from the monkey? And all these, where does this come from? It's not coming from God. No, God created man in His image. But now the first thing that goes is your thinking. Futile in their speculations. And He says, their foolish heart was darkened. You know where issues of life flow from? They flow out of our heart. That's why you got to watch over your heart very carefully. You got to watch what you're letting come in there, what you let seed in there, because everything of life flows from that. In fact, your heart, Jesus said, where your heart heads, your life's going that away. When your old heart gets darkened, your old heart's going to take your life into further darkness. So your thinking's not good. Your heart's not good. Look at verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So here's this darkened in the heart. Here's this void of empty results thinking. And guess what man professes? We're wise. We are so smart. Listen to this philosophy. Yeah. God says, while you profess to be wise, you're fools. That word fool, we get our English word moron from it. While professing to be wise, God says you're a bunch of morons. You're not smart. I mean, if you get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, read verses 18 through 31. You know what Paul tells the church at Corinth? It's enough of man's wisdom. Stop listening to man and their wisdom. You need some wisdom from God. And that's what he tells them. Because if you had wisdom from God, you wouldn't be acting and thinking and doing the things that you do, even in the church. And so here you go. Man professes they're so wise and smart. God says, man, you're a bunch of fools. You're a bunch of morons. Because you won't listen. Verse 23, here's what they do. Here's why they became morons. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for the image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. You're so smart. Here's where man's smartness takes them. They leave an incorruptible God, a God that is eternal, a God that's just and holy and righteous. And so you'll exchange and throw away everything you know about this incorruptible God, and guess what you'll go after? Insects and bugs and moronic man, by the way, that dies. That's how foolish people are. And God is looking from heaven and He's watching mankind created in His image. He's given them a witness testimony of, look at the creation. I am here. And man says, hey, I don't want to give you any honor or thanks. And then God says, okay, my wrath is against all your ungodliness and unrighteousness. Your thinking's off, your heart's off, your profession is off, everything about man is off. And so I've got to act upon that. Because you're throwing me aside. Here begins the wrath of God being revealed. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. This is God's wrath. Three times he's going to use this phrase, God gave them over. Use it here in 24, verse 26, and verse 28. When God gives you over, or any person over, that means God's going to leave you with your thinking, with your desires, and he's going to pull out. And he's going to make sure he doesn't interfere for you to go act and think and come up with the conclusions you want to come up with on your own, because I will not stop you. That's the wrath of God being revealed. And the first thing he does in the wrath of God, he says God gave them over in the lusts of their heart to impurity, so their bodies would be dishonored among them. When man starts dishonoring their own bodies, it did not come from God. God would not teach man and take man to dishonor their body. Man's heart, man's impurities of their heart. See, the old heart's darkened. So man thinks of all these ways, and it affects their bodies and how they're going to live. And God says, okay, I'll pull out. Go after it. Why does there seem to be a newfangled thing people do with their bodies all the time? You ever wonder about that? There is a wrath of God from heaven, and that wrath of God's being revealed. And Paul said, and I want you to know it's being revealed. Verse 25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The Creator, our Creator that keeps us alive, He deserves our blessings. He deserves all honor and thanks. But you know what man does? Man traded off the Creator and traded Him off for a lie. Let me tell you how to get through this. Let me tell you how to live your life. Let me tell you how to go about things. Let me tell you the newest technology. Let me tell you how to get out of your mental difficulties. Let me solve your problems in your life. That's what man keeps saying. And they exchanged the truth of God. They began to worship and serve the creature. And God says, you know why? Because I'm not a part of it. I've given you over. I've let you go and I've pulled out all restraints and you go do as you please. And we're looking at the results of it when people dishonor their bodies to impurities. Yeah, that's bad news. Second thing he says, verse 26. He says, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. God gave them over. You want to have degrading passions? Think about that term. Degrading passions. Some versions probably say shameful lusts. It's degrading. It is absolutely degrading for a man to burn their desire for a man and a woman to burn her desire for a woman. It's not natural. It's unnatural. Listen, brethren. We've been sold a bill of goods and we're continually being sold on it. People that are futile in their thinking, people that are darkened in their understanding, and people that give no honor or thanks to God tell us that homosexuality, people are born that way. And God says, no. They are the direct result of people going after unnatural acts, and I let them go. I remove myself, and look at how far they run with it. And I want you to know it's being pushed down our throat every time we turn around. In programs, in sitcoms, there is a present day lawsuit going on right now from the ACLU against the schools in Camdenton because they blocked all the sites, and one of the sites was blocked was homosexuality, and the ACLU says our children need to know about it. It's an alternate lifestyle. Really? It's the wrath of God being revealed from heaven lifestyle is what it is. And we need to call it the way it is. And we need to quit being fearful for calling it the way it is. I'm telling you, there is something happening in this nation. And it is not good when it comes to homosexuality. Now, I wasn't going to get into all this. This is free, okay? But there is something happening. And I'm telling you, it looks like in the near future in the church, we're not going to be able to speak against it. I would not be surprised to see laws start being passed that if we preached or we taught against homosexuality, we would be arrested, or we would have our status taken away as a church by our government. It's coming, folks. It's coming. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm trying to tell you the reason it's coming is because we live with people who have minds that have been given over to God. They're futile. Their old hearts darkened. They're foolish. And it's the wrath of God revealed from heaven. It's unnatural for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman. It's unnatural. It's not God's creation. It's man's creation. And so he says, there you go. There's the wrath of God from heaven. And he says at the end of verse 27, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. There are more sicknesses as a result of homosexuality than anything else. And they're receiving it back, and it's affecting the innocent too. You better know. Wrath of God's revealed from heaven. He doesn't care what man's trying to suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. Truth of God will stand and truth of God will prevail. And no man's going to squash it. And if you're going to challenge God, then God will just give you over. I'll give you these degrading passions. Go with it. That's what you want anyway. But you're going to receive back in your persons the penalty for the error of your way. And then the third one, verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Whew. God gave them over to a depraved mind. Why does God give people to a depraved mind? Because they don't want God in their thinking. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to let God tell them what to do. So what happens? God gives them over to a depraved mind. You want depravity? Depravity is someone that walks away from the Lord. Depravity is people that don't think in terms of God. Depravity are people that reject His Word. Then God says, you know what? I'll let you go. I'll remove my influence. You go after your depravity, and it's going to show up in your life through things that aren't proper, and listen to what they are. Look at verse 30 or 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Does that sound like us sometimes? What's wrong with someone having strife? Let's have strife between two people, especially brethren. Where do you think that strife's coming from? It's sure not coming from the Lord. It's a sign of depravity, a reprobate mind. Gossip. Let's just go about gossips. I mean, gossip is one of the easiest things to do. Gossip seems to happen more than we like to admit. People just sit around, they gossip, and then he said gossip, slander, they slander people. Let's just do it. God said, that's my wrath. I've given you over to depravity. And these are the things a depraved person practices in their lives. That ought to get our attention. And then he goes on to say in verse 32, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. You know, you ever heard that phrase, birds of a feather flock together? Well, if you've got people practicing these things in their lives and you're practicing them, that's who you're going to bind yourself to. That's who you do. And he says they're worthy of death. That from God's view, from God's perspective, That's their worth. And we try to get all this philosophy telling us, and psychologists tell us, well, everybody's got to have value. Everybody's worth something. God said, if you practice these things, they're worthy of death. That's God's assessment. You see, when God gives people over to degrading passions that dishonor their bodies, the wrath of God's being revealed. When God gives people over to their impurities or the lusts of their heart, and they go after homosexuality, the wrath of God's being revealed. And when people end up rejecting the teachings of God and they don't want to listen, and they all of a sudden start finding these things popping up in their lives of unloving, unmerciful, the things that he lists, there is the wrath of God being revealed. You know what we're learning through all of this? God says, this is the story of man. And it's scary. The gospel comes. Jesus died for our sins. And God says, this is my story. This is what I'm offering. Reconciliation to me through the death of my son. This is my story. This is my song to renew you and me to soundness, to renew us to the power of his salvation, that he can save me from all of his wrath presently and what's yet to come. This is his story. And it's up to us to reject or accept it. And it's good news that in Christ Jesus we have been reconciled to God. His power to save me and you. So the question this morning, what are you doing with Jesus right now? Is Jesus your all? Is Jesus who you live for? What you think about? Because if he is, thank God. Thank God you're on the road to who he is and to eternity. But if we reject Jesus, there's only one other alternative. And God says, that's why I see man without excuse. I've given them the opportunities. And now, especially through the death of Jesus.